You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. How are you today, Ari?
I'm all right, actually. I feel a little bit out of it. I don't really remember the drive to work this morning.
Really?
Oh, I remember some of it. I think I'm on autopilot, so it's okay. Like, I still have my wits about me, of course. I just kind of just was like my own little world, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
A lot of stuff on my mind. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, I didn't realise it, but it's a big farewell to Dr. Cox from the airport.
I know. I said during the break that you should sign up for the top job.
Well, you know what? If New Itali could do her job and have a seat on the board of the airport, how hard could it be?
It actually wouldn't be hard at all.
I think you'd go
to a couple of meetings.
Exactly. Oh, do you approve international arrivals? Yes, I do.
Maybe we should just put our resumes in and we can do it after this job.
I think it wouldn't be that hard, to be honest.
No.
And I'm sure he's leaving the airport, but I'm sure he's rising through other jobs.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's got other stuff on.
He'd be on the move to the next thing.
He's a doctor.
Exactly right.
Of what? I don't know.
Neither do I. Could be something to do with aviation,
which
might disqualify me.
Is.
Well, that's right, because I'm not a doctor of anything except love, obviously.
My mum used to work for Williamtown RAF Base. She used to be in the Air Force back in the day many years ago. Do you reckon because she's my mum, it gives me like automatic qualification to be in the aviation industry?
Definitely.
Okay, great.
You should go in there. Yep. Don't even worry about setting up a meeting.
No,
airports
just
love
just walk
it.
In with my sunglasses on and be like, I'm cool, I'm here, ready
and
to
my
be on
mum,
board.
My mum used to work at a RAF base.
So I'm qualified.
Exactly. Airports love it when you rock up unannounced with no information and just try to walk in the door.
Words to live by.
There you go.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So I came home from work yesterday afternoon after being here, and I was greeted by some fluffy little babies.
What does that even mean?
So Mum and Dad yesterday, they went down to see my brother very briefly to go and collect the two dogs, Murphy and Princeton. I've spoken about them multiple times on the show.
Yeah, they're your, what do you call them, your fur nephews?
Yeah. So it was really good to see them. They came in the house and they just immediately made a beeline for me to come and give me a hug and a kiss and all that
stuff. Oh, that's nice.
It's beautiful.
You like having those dogs visit, don't you?
Yeah, but I also like how much joy it brings my mum and dad because they love dogs and they just love spending time with them. Thing is, though, I was out for a little bit last night, and when I came back, and you know, Murphy, he likes to do his like little like mini squeal of excitement type things.
Sure.
And it lasts a little while, so you have to kind of calm him down a bit. Anyway, Dad's already annoyed. Like, he's
already?
Like, Murphy, enough. And I'm like, Dad, it's not even been 24 hours. If you're going to start with this attitude, don't even bother having the dogs because I'm not taking it.
How long are they staying for?
Who knows? Apparently it's open-ended. Samuel
and
Sarah.
An undetermined length of time.
Well, their owners, my brother and his wife, they have not disclosed when they're going to take them back.
What do you mean not disclosed?
No, seriously, they have not giving us a time frame. Like, that's actually rude.
There's so much interesting about that.
But, look, I'm barely ever home as it is, so Mum and Dad have to take care of them. I can't.
Well, that's not your responsibility.
No, that's right. That's right.
They've been handed to your Mum and Dad, and you're just there for the free pats.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's good for me. But
so
yeah.
What are the breeds again? Just remind me.
So Murphy, he's the youngest. He's the German Shorthead Pointer, the one who's got OCD,
hot,
anxiety.
Yeah.
Then Princeton, he's the very much older dog. He used to be a support dog as well,
okay.
A medical support dog. He's like, I don't know, a cross of four breeds.
But more chill.
Much more chill, yeah. He actually, because when I was getting ready for bed last night, and here's a quick story, I opened up my bedroom door and whatever, and I was about to go brush my teeth, and then Princeton just came down the hallway and just laid in front of my door.
That's the calm one.
Yeah, he just wanted to be close to me. I'm like, that's really sweet.
That's a bit cute. Yeah. Are they sleeping on your bed?
No. Yeah. I get up before everyone else in the house, so they have to go sleep with mum and dad, otherwise right. I'm waking them up, even though I already woke them up this morning. Doesn't matter.
Are they sleeping on your mum and dad's bed?
Or
they
yeah, usually.
Own? Oh, really?
Well, they have their own beds, but especially Murphy, he loves to cuddle up next to you. Mm. He can't not be around someone.
So two dogs and your mum and dad all in the same bed.
Oh, no, mum and dad sleep in separate beds.
Oh, that's right.
So they have that. More room.
Right, so they're all getting a dog.
Yep.
Nice.
That's great, yeah.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
Over in WA at the moment, I didn't realise this, but there's a lot of, I guess, whales that are migrating, like we see coming past the coast here in Newcastle.
Oh, yes, they're still coming past, yep.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I didn't understand or know about this, I guess, feature of these whales. They are the southern right whales.
Cute.
And they actually are having, at the moment, whale orgies off southern Western Australia's South Highlands.
Huh?
Yep, that's right. They've been filmed doing this. I don't know who's getting their drones up, but someone is sending them out. And essentially, they're breeding in groups of up to 20 in the waters off the Australian coast. Now, I don't want to get any of the facts wrong here.
So okay, all right.
I'm going to quote a marine biologist, Piak Markovic, who's been talking about this behaviour and says it's actually a good sign for the species. So Ms. Markovic say that mating can start with a female putting the right call out which travels underwater, something like this. Right? She puts this little call
it's
out.
It's almost like it's her siren song in a way.
Exactly. Like some lady walking out of King Street Macca's, right? 3 a.m. going, hey boys.
Right? Come get it.
Exactly. The males then hear that and they swim over and this is what
I'm coming.
That's right. This is what Piak says. Piak says, basically a whale orgy starts. She says, it's almost like a dance. This is another quote. There's physical stamina, they're agile, and it's quite graceful, actually.
It's graceful! That's never been said about you know, any of that action ever.
No, Miss Markovic said that the female would lead and the males mirror her movements.
Ooh.
And it can actually lead to male whales fighting for attention.
Oh, I love this.
Once again, similar to King Street Macca's.
Look, as a woman...
Yeah.
I would say that a male fighting for your attention, or at least, you know, trying to display some masculinity for attention, I'm all about it.
Well, it's interesting. She says the males will push and shove. It's relatively non-violent, but they kind of just bump into each other like bumper cars. Boonk, boonk. Imagine
Move
that.
Move up my way.
Exactly right. So here's one more interesting fact, right? She's talking about that they have the largest testicles of any animal on Earth.
Not surprised.
They can weigh up to 500 kilos each. So
wow.
1 ton of testicles that are up inside their body.
Damn!
No wonder they sink to the bottom of the ocean. Jeez.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
There's an ageing village over in Japan that's taken their current lack of population into its own hands, really, in order to create an illusion of a bustling area. So not many people in this place. They want to make it look like, you know, it's more expansive and family friendly.
Well, it's a big problem over there.
Mm.
Your like local village areas, like your small towns.
Mm.
They're just running out of people, basically. They've got heaps of houses there and no people. And so it's such a bad problem. For like 10 grand, you can buy a house on a block of land.
Well, reading up on this story, and I'll get to the funny part in a moment, but apparently a lot of the older residents, all of their children that they've had over the years, they've sent them off for their education
sure.
and to have a better life because they were afraid that, you know, they'd be unmarriageable.
Right.
You know,
you can't find a partner.
That's right. And they can't live their own lives separately outside in the actual world and whatnot. Well, due to its struggle, the village of what's called Ichinono, itching? No, not a good thing. It actually has less than 60 residents and only one kid. It's trying to fill the void with life-sized dolls or stuffed mannequins, which look like scarecrows, which they dress up and place around the community and even pose on swings and bicycles.
No, that's an absolute no. Like, if you've got a quiet rural village, just enjoy the peace and quiet, a bit of tranquility. Don't be creeping it up with creepy dolls hiding in the bushes.
Can confirm that the dolls don't talk, but yeah, they're just placed randomly throughout like the streets and whatever.
That is weird.
Crazy. One resident who is 88 years old says that they're probably outnumbered at this point by the puppets.
That is so weird. I don't like any of that.
Okay, well, even the best part, if you get the chance to go and have a look, do it. Photos reveal all the little activities that they're pretending these dolls to do. For example, you've got riding bicycles of all different sizes. You've got two mannequins pushing their child doll on a set of swings.
Oh, no.
Some look to be walking hand in hand, while another is riding a scooter.
This is one of the most ridiculous ideas I've ever heard.
I think it's funny as.
Get rid of the dolls.
Very Coraline-esque.
Yeah, very strange, very creepy.
Just it's like Halloween Town. It's consistent.
Well, all the time. Halloween once a year is enough for me.
100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
I don't know if you saw this, Ari, but the East End project is finally approved.
This is for Newcastle's East End, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So, obviously, these are the changes around the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the renderings, this is like the fancy pictures that they, you know,
yeah, well, their graphics
mock
and
up.
Stuff, yeah.
Looks pretty good.
Okay.
A lot more fancy new apartments.
Yeah, well, I figured as much, you know?
Which I partly think we need, but I'm unsure about the design a little bit.
Why?
The apartments, some of the apartments look a bit boring.
Oh, but that's why you spruce it up with some, you know, fancy furniture or pretty artwork.
I'm not talking about inside.
Oh,
I'm talking about, of course you can paint it pink if you want. I don't care what you do inside. I can't see it. I'm talking about the outside.
Are they just like brick and boring and kind of look old?
Yeah, they just look a little bit dated.
Well, why is that?
I don't know. It probably something to do with it's real cheap to build. Is
well,
my
if that's
guess.
The case, make them affordable for us to live, please.
Well, that would be appreciated, and that I could accept, but there's no way they will be. Not right there.
For goodness sake. Oh, well, look, anyway. We don't need the fancy. We just need normal, stable, decent, and cheap.
Couldn't agree more. That is what we need more of. If they were doing that, I'd be all for it. But
yeah.
I just suspect they'll be real expensive.
Of course they will be.
And don't even look brilliant. Anyway. Mm. The, like, gardens and stuff look good.
Okay.
It looks like they're going to do a good job on that. Right. So, fingers crossed the mall will really, you know, shape up when this happens. Of course, it'll take a while to build.
Yeah. Interesting take on that, Kubo.
Have a look at the renderings. Pretty interesting what's happening to our city.
Keep across it.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
To the world of Germany.
The world of Germany. Do you mean the country of Germany?
Yeah, completely different world.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay. We're talking about this incredibly genius bat who's done a Houdini or a Mission Impossible, if you will, and escaped a zoo.
Now, for me, of all the animals to escape, a bat sounds the easiest.
Really? Do you reckon why? Because you think camouflage because they're dark.
No, it's more along the lines of they've got wings to fly, number one. Number two, they're good at, like, slipping through small gaps.
Well, I didn't even know that they had bats in zoos, but apparently in Germany, they do. So this bat...
Okay, we're doing accents as well. This is so fun.
Okay, so this bat from this... I think it's Karlsruhe Zoo or something in southwestern Germany.
Oh, I'm sure you pronounced that well as well.
Yeah, last week. So... Apparently, this bat landed on a woman who was visiting with her son and hid in her clothes until she got home. So this woman said that she and her young son were walking through the bat cave at the zoo.
Sure.
And then apparently she removed her jacket and a bat fell to the floor. So he's like somehow weaseled his way into whatever jacket she's wearing. She didn't even notice. And then he's just kind of like waiting his turn.
Waiting his time.
Yeah, until he was safe and ready to go. And then, yeah. So that's interesting.
Fell out on the floor. What a brilliant escape artist.
But he didn't fly off, which is dumb, because she then put the bat in a box with honey water and a banana overnight, kept him fed and comfortable. The husband and son returned the bat to the zoo the following day. Apparently, he's doing just fine. But if you're making this grand escape, you best be, like, making a little kind of sly getaway as well from the jacket, if you're
smart.
Otherwise,
you'll end up in a box with a tin of honey.
And a banana,
which sounds awful.
UFM. The Novos.
Question for you, Crevo.
Yes.
Do you like cheese?
one of my favorite foods on earth.
Right.
I've got a giant cheese poster in my kitchen.
Oh, that's right.
I'd say probably four types of cheese in the fridge at all times.
We lagging the cheese.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, we have at least four, I think, or five at home at the moment in the fridge.
That's a minimum.
Yeah.
That's a baseline.
Of course. And if you have a favourite, you know how protective you can be when somebody tries to take a piece or two.
Oh, my God.
Why are you eating that? Why are you taking that? No, it's mine. Give it
back. Exactly. For me at the moment, it's Persian feta that comes in a little container.
Yes, nice.
If I get there and it's all gone... Right, where's the Persian feta gone?
You're going to be cranky. It ruins your day.
Yeah, I'll blame the dog or the baby.
Imagine if a whole warehouse full of your beloved cheese was taken.
Hang on. I'm still imagining. Oh, that's a tragedy.
Call the cops.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently hundreds of truckles of cheddar, which is basically
a barrel. What's a truckle?
I've learned this. I'll tell you. It's all it is. It's just a barrel-shaped kind of wheel of cheddar cheese.
Oh, you know what? When I eat too much cheese, I feel like a bit of a truckle.
Yeah, a barrel. Yeah. So hundreds of these barrels of cheddar worth more than 300,000 euros have been stolen from a London cheese specialist called Neil's Yard Dairy. So apparently fraudsters have posed as legitimate wholesalers to receive the 950 cloth-bound cheeses from this company before it realised they were a fake firm. So it's not like they're broken into anywhere. They've just literally gone, hey, we're this company. Here's the identification.
Fake ID. This is the classic thing of if you turn up somewhere in high vis and carrying a ladder, you can go in anywhere.
And a clipboard.
Yeah, a clipboard. Yeah. Oh, my God. A clipboard, you can go straight into the top security section.
Well, that's right.
They've just turned up in, like, fake uniforms and went, oh, we're the wholesalers. We're here to pick up our cheese. And went, right, here's the keys to the warehouse. How dumb are they?
Well, more than 22 tonnes of three artisan cheddars specifically.
22 tonnes?
Yep. Were taken, which are all award-winning and have a high monetary value. So, for example, this company called Neil's Yard Dairy sells Hafod Welsh for at least 12.9 euros for a 300-gram piece. Dollars, that's $21 per 300 grams.
Yeah, right. So it's like a 70 bucks a kilo, round numbers.
Something like that.
That's wild. All I can say is, what are they doing with it? Are they just eating it? Because how are you going to sell that on the second-hand market?
I don't know.
Facebook Marketplace? It's going to look suspicious. I've got 300,000 worth of cheese. I'll take 250.
Well, nobody
or best
knows.
Offer for cash.
What? You know what? I have no idea what they're doing with this. But, like, the investigation is ongoing. I want to find out what happens to these truckles.
Well, keep you updated, no doubt.
You're waking up with the Novos, live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ass. And on the air now.
All right, here's a feel-good story for you.
Go.
Right? This bloke is a carpenter. Just lives in California somewhere. Mm-hmm. Anyways, walking through this car park, this is last week, he says $20 on the ground, right?
Oh.
Picks it up, goes, oh, brilliant, $20.
Yeah.
Takes it into the, like, chemist or something that's nearby.
Yep.
Convenience store, a little convenience store chemist sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Says, oh, I want to buy, like, a scratchy card, basically. There's a $20 one. I found 20 bucks. I want to buy this $20 one.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, those ones, we don't have those ones, but we've got all these.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, oh, fine, I'll have that one.
Okay.
Scratches it off, wins $1 million.
Wow! How awesome is that?
How good is that, right?
God, wouldn't you just love to win that?
How many different, like, sliding door moments had to line up for that to happen.
Wow.
You had to find the $20. Is his card, if they had available, he wouldn't have won it.
Wow.
And they were, oh, we don't have that one. And then it all lined up. What an incredible story,
it
right?
It just doesn't sound like it's an actual thing, does it? It sounds unbelievable.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Well, congratulations to him.
Definitely.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
Long-distance relationships.
Mm.
Oh, they can be a challenge, can't they?
Oh, they definitely can. Look, it's not easy, and it's certainly not for the faint-of-hearted or those who, I guess, can't handle being away from their partner.
We were talking about this yesterday behind the scenes.
Yes.
And for ages, I said, let's just have a discussion on the air.
Yeah.
And find out what Newcastle's stories are in and around long-distance relationships. Maybe you've had one and it was a success. Because I think they're a bit more rare, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think for it to end successfully and maybe, you know, you end up living together or whatever, I think that's pretty rare.
Mm.
Or maybe it all went haywire, went wrong. And 4967-4105, if you've got one. Have you ever been in a long-distance relationship, Ari, yourself?
I have. This was my prior relationship. So I was living down in Wollongong at the time and he was living here, of course. We knew each other for quite a few years, so it was okay. We didn't, meet long distance.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a bit difficult. Like, there were many times we lived separately for probably about a year or so.
Sure.
And we made it work at the time, you know, coming up or down, like, during weekends every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Spend every night on the phone. That's fine. But I think I was more comfortable in that relationship, I think, long distance.
Yeah.
Whereas my partner now, Will, so I think I was chatting to you about this yesterday as well, Crevo. I cannot stand being away from him.
It wouldn't work out.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it would break my heart. I wouldn't be able to hack it. So, even two nights a week seeing him is not enough for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I started the relationship I'm in now.
Oh, your wife, Emmy?
Yeah, we were living in the same place in Sydney.
Yep.
This is a long time ago, over 10 years ago now.
Wow.
But then I had to move away for work when I started my career in radio.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You're gonna chase your career.
Exactly. I was probably started with 2.5 hours away and then I was 3.5 hours away.
Was it a lot for you?
Yeah. Well, to me, that was the maximum because I was if I can drive there on weekends, that's acceptable for me.
Okay.
Right. That's sort of the most needed. If I couldn't do that, I don't know if I would have been able to hack it. But some people are able to. Some people even do overseas.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, someone moves away or go somewhere or they meet online or something.
Mm.
I'd love to hear one of those stories.
Mm.
Did it work out? Did it not work out?
What happened?
Especially the ones, especially if you've got one that worked out, you know, overseas would be extraordinary. But even more, anyone that's done more than, 3.5 hours away, which was mine, I'd love to hear your story. 4967-4105, what happened with the long-distance relationship?
All right, let's go to Macquarie Hills with Louise. Good morning, Louise. What's your long-distance story?
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Very good.
Well, I'm from South Africa, so me and my husband met when he went to visit South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully immigrated in June this year. We got married on the 15th of June.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God. Congrats. How long did you guys have to do the whole long-distance thing?
2 years.
Oh, that's a bit of a grind. But did you have, this is always the question I ask, is did you have an end date in mind?
Yes.
Well, not really.
Right.
We've just decided it's time for me to immigrate, so I immigrated.
Yeah, right.
So taking it really day by day in a sort of way, Louise.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, I respect that.
A lot.
Yeah.
And are you enjoying Macquarie Hills versus...
I do.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing. Well,
beautiful.
Welcome to the area, and thanks for coming on the show and choosing New FM.
That is gorgeous. What a story.
That is a lovely story, right? A holiday romance. Well. Exactly right.
I know.
In Lake Macquarie, Andre, what's your story?
Hi, guys. Morning. How are you
morning.
Guys?
Morning. Very good.
Good. Well, coincidentally, I'm also South African.
Oh, my God.
That
is amazing.
This is incredible.
We like weed all over the place.
Yeah.
So what was your story?
Yeah, me and my wife, we dated from, in Australia, it would be year 8 to year 12, same school. And then I went to go and study in Cape Town. Yeah. And she stayed in Johannesburg, studied there. That's about 1,800 km from each other.
Wow.
Yeah, so we dated like that for about 5 years till I finished my studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then eventually got married. And 12 years later, we're still here.
Wow. So when did you... So how long were you apart, you know, on that 1,800 k's away?
For 5 years. So we saw each other every 4 months, 4 weeks or so when there was holidays.
Wow.
Yeah, so I had to travel up and down to see each other for a week, and then, well, studies were going again, and then, yeah. Did that for 5 years, and then eventually got married.
Oh my God.
We immigrated 4 years ago, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, 12 years later, we're still married.
Andre, just a quick question for you as well. How did you find navigating that 5 years? Is there any tips that you could give anyone, I guess, who is navigating a long-distance relationship now?
Oh, no, it was difficult. I mean, just communication as opposed to trying to, you know, back in that day, there weren't really WhatsApp calls or video calls, so we had to phone each other in the evening for 10 minutes on the landline.
And lots of puddles with a teddy.
Would be communication.
Yeah, good communication is a good tip, you know, and I guess now communication is easier.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes on the landline, can you imagine?
Mm.
Once a day, that's all you get.
Mm.
I guess, you know, in his case, though, the distance made the love grow stronger.
Love conquers all. We love to hear it.
This is what we do. New FM.
105.3 UFM. UFM. The Novos. Lowest. Deluxe.
For now, a chance to win. This is awesome. We've got a family pass to go to the movies. That's right, to go and see the movie of your choice at Reading Cinemas Charlestown. Reading Cinemas Charlestown is the home of blockbuster movies.
Sure is.
Let's meet our contestant for this morning. With playing lowest to lux.
It's Kelly in Rutherford. Good morning, Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, guys. How are you?
Really good. Do you know how lowest to lux works?
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff.
Right.
I'll put three things out there. You just got to chuck them in order. Awesome. Cheapest to most expensive. Let's get into it. Yeah, you'll be
this.
Right. You'll be right. Okay. Item number one from Tides Hill Cellars. A Bundaberg Original Rum 700ml bottle.
Ooh.
Okay. Item number two from Newey Burger Co. The Dudley Burger. Mm. It's southern fried chicken, cheddar cheese,
chicken.
Paris mash, and spicy maple gravy.
Chicken.
Chicken. And item number three comes from Kmart at Katara. Mm. It's the 50-centimetre... pedestal fan in black.
Ooh.
That's a big dog.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so just to review, you've got the Dudley Burger, not in a meal at all. You've got the Bundaberg Original Run 700ml, and you've got the pedestal fan 50 centimetres in black.
Okay, interesting.
Okay.
What do you think is the cheapest?
Well, I think I have no idea on the alcohol, but I think that would be cheaper.
700ml Bundaberg rum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you want to put that at one? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Then I think it's a toss up between,
What do you reckon's in the middle?
I don't know, I've not been to the burger shop, so I'm gonna go the fan and the burger.
Okay. The fan and the burger.
I think it's the toss up between the fan and the burger.
Alright. So you're going alcohol, fan, burger.
Yeah.
Alright, so
yeah,
let's
no
kick things off.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start this off. The Bundaberg rum, 700ml, comes in at $47.99.
Ooh.
Then, sorry, I thought it was a Coke and rum. Like, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. And then you've got the fan comes in at $39.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, not a winner today.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
How good's this? Five local venues have been shortlisted as finalists for the best burgers in the upcoming 2024 AHA New South Wales Awards for Excellence. These are basically like the hotel awards around our whole state.
Yeah.
And we've got five finalists here in our area.
Unbelievable.
Now, let's go through some of them because I think I've tried some of these,
okay,
which is great.
I probably haven't, so let's go.
The Works Burger at the Bellbird Hotel at Bellbird.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, they're in there. At the Jezzo Hotel at Jesmond.
Oh, they are. They have some really good specials throughout the week.
Usually
for like uni nights, family nights, all that.
You often see them when you're driving down the road. And they've got them on the board there.
Sure.
Which is cool.
Yes.
We've also got the fried chicken burger at the Lakeside Village Tavern at Raymond Terrace.
Oh, I think my parents have been there, actually. They said it's good.
I think I've actually had the burger there, and
Are
it was
you
very
sure?
good. Yeah, because I went there, and I had a burger. So I'm pretty sure it was that one.
Thanks for making me look like an idiot.
At Moon and Flat Pub, the $25 Moonin Burger. Who you been mooning?
It's caught with his pants down, was it? Yeah.
And the Prince Beef Burger at the Prince of Merriweather at Merriweather. These are all vying for the title at the moment.
Really? That's a lot.
That is a lot. And there's some other mentions. Our region is absolutely flying. I wanted to get a few more in here.
Sure.
So, the Great Northern Hotel at Taralba has been nominated in the Best Palmy section.
Interesting this. They have some really good, like, priced food at Taralba.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Have you been to that?
Well,
been
actually,
there or?
I drive past it a lot, but my dad goes there a lot, like nearly every week or two. Yeah.
He might be involved in the voting, by
probably.
The sounds of it. Once again, at Moon and Flat Pub, they're also up for the Best Palmy.
Great.
And the Nag's Head at Adamstown and Shortland Hotel are also contenders for Best Steak Sandwich.
So interesting you mentioned those two as well, for example. So when I used to work in news over the past couple of years, every time these awards specifically would come up, the Shorty, so the Shortland Hotel,
they're
and the
unreal.
Nags, they always get in as finalists.
So I feel like I've been to every pub in the area. I've eaten that steak sandwich at the Shortland Hotel. It is very, very good.
Oh, interesting.
So
okay.
If you want to get your hands on some award-winning or at least finalist food, get in there, try some of those, check out the rest of the list of finalists and stuff. Well worth it.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So some massive news has come to light in the football, or i.e. soccer world, internationally.
Round ball football.
That's right. Manchester United, so one of the biggest teams in the EPL.
I am familiar.
Okay.
Man U.
Have sacked the manager, Erik ten Hag. So apparently the Premier League club said on Monday, just yesterday, with the Old Trafford side 14th in the standings after 9 games, the 54-year-old Dutchman's job was a subject of speculation, so therefore he's been sacked.
Oh, ten Hag's is gone, is it?
Well, that's right. Oof. So, subject of speculation, for most of last season, as United recorded their worst Premier League finish in 8th. It's Man U's worst run in at least 35 years in the Premier League. So, you know for a fact his job was in trouble.
Yeah, and they always blame him, isn't it?
It's always the coach's fault in some way.
It's not the, you know, 24-year-old players who have been out on the drink the night before, had too many cruises.
I mean, look.
It's the old bloke who's been doing it for years, is it?
No, look.
Here's me talking about it like I know.
Like you think you know. Well, this is the thing. Like, of course someone has to be accountable for this because obviously worst run of Manchester United's career, basically.
I always just think it's funny when the coach gets blamed.
I know.
When it's just a small possibility, it's all the young blokes who are not getting on.
It could be both. Of course it could be both. But there's something to be, somebody had to be accountable for this.
Yeah, right.
So he's got the sack.
There we go.
Interesting to see who will be up for the next top job.
You should do it. You know soccer.
No. No, thanks.
If they offered it to
you. I don't want
you.
That much pressure. Like, that's a lot to take on Manchester
United. Good
coin,
though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'll just put my dad up for the job. There you go. Bye, Dad. Have fun in Manchester United.
He is someone that could do it. He has the experience. And once again, good money.
I'll buy him a plane ticket. Bye, Dad. Have fun.
Everything is in place.
I'll put his resume through for him. He won't even know.
Lovely.
Guess a call.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
Now, on Friday, Krivo, you and I went to the Inforno restaurant over in Hamilton. This was for our lunch with a few lucky listeners.
God, it was good. Lovely pasta day lunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just like to hang out and do these things. Why not?
Nice wines, too, just quietly. We were
treated.
Hello,
Leo Gate.
Yes, thank you very much. But one of the conversations that we struck up with our listeners was quite interesting. I don't know how it came up.
Neither do I.
But it did. So two of our amazing listeners, they were talking about how their mum, I believe, has kept their teeth from when they were kids. So,
this is so bizarre.
They collected them.
The whole collection.
Mm.
Or at least it seems like that.
Mm.
And you think, what are you doing with those? You know, you keeping them in a line from smallest to biggest, or what's going on there?
Oh, I mean, could you imagine if you're growing up, right, and then you're going through some cupboards or whatever in your house, you're 20 years old, and you're going, why the hell is there a full set of Jaws in my bedroom box? Like, that's so bizarre.
It is strange.
Yeah.
And it got us talking about sometimes people like to keep medical stuff.
And look, it all comes from, like, when, you know, baby's first haircut.
That's
or
right.
Your
that's
first tooth that you lost.
It could be stuff like that. Or
skin graft.
It could well be. Yeah. There's also, you know, adult stuff as well.
Mm.
You know, from when you maybe you have a bit taken off or something.
Yeah, like and skin of your nose.
Who knows?
Cut out.
People
yeah.
sometimes keep this stuff.
For weird memorabilia.
I know for a fact my wife, Emmy, has in a jar a wisdom tooth. There was a real big dog she got taken out. She's like,
what?
Can I have that? They're like, yeah. She goes, great. As
what?
In a little jar.
So it was as a memento to say this is what I went through?
I think so. Just a curiosity. And she's
morbid
like,
curiosity.
Belongs to me. I want it.
Okay. All
I
right.
Like, well, I'm not taking it from you. It's all yours.
Wait, I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
Is it hidden or is it on display in the house?
It's just like in a drawer, I think.
Okay, so it's not like fully out.
It's
like to
it's
look
not
at.
On a plinth, if that's what you're asking. It's not.
Could you imagine?
It's not next to a fine vase or something.
Yeah, it's a piece of artwork just hanging up in the house.
It's not. It's quite big. Like it's extraordinary. Actually,
okay.
You
good
would
on
not
you, Emmy.
Expect it to
yeah.
be that big.
She's proud of a wisdom tooth. All right, this is what we want to do. 4967-4105. What did you keep in terms of medical bits? Maybe you could have kept it as your part of your life when
sure.
you were young, or was it something your parents kept?
Or family or something.
Or
they've
something you kept,
kept
of your own child.
That's also a possibility.
Like an umbilical cord, maybe?
Sure. Do people keep that?
Well, like the little clips that they put on the cords.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they have a
plastic,
bit of skin still
like
attached to it.
It's like what you use to like hold your bread from going off. You know those,
yeah,
little
one of those
special clips?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's for medical reasons. All right, this is what we're after. A bit of fun for your Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
4967-4105. What medical bits have been kept? You, someone else, whatever the story.
Maybe you found it in
okay.
like your mum's stash or
oh
whatever.
My God, ugh. Please.
We have got just a quick message on our Instagram at the
sure.
Novos _. Susan messaged in saying, I kept my gallstones. I still have them 30 plus years later. Yeah, Susan, that's a bit strange.
That is odd. All right.
Oh, each to their own.
In Aberdare, Keith, what's your story?
I got two screws that got removed out of my left hand.
Oh,
was it some sort of operation or what happened?
I had a motorbike accident and I actually broke my left arm and my hand knuckle got broken as well. And they screwed the knuckle back together and after a while the screws started working their way out. So they took them out and I said, can I keep them? They're going, yeah, here you go.
And are they like special stainless steel ones?
Yeah, they're like a titanium.
And are you ever like say you know fixing a door or something? You ever tempted just to pop them in instead?
No, not these two.
Yeah, right. Do you keep them in like a necklace around or what?
No, they're in a little specimen jar. But I never thought about putting them in a necklace and keeping them on me.
Yeah,
oh, there you go.
You know what? I'm all about the ideas here.
Oh gosh.
They call me an ideas man.
Okay, more mementos to be had. John and Head and Greeter, what medical bits did you keep?
I had my first tooth taken out when I was 54, and I drilled a hole in it. It was a molar, and I got it hanging up on my rear vision mirror in the car.
That is such a weird place to have it, John. Why did you put it there?
I don't know. I just thought, well, done well. 54 years for the first tooth to come out.
That's
good
pretty
on you.
Good. Good
yeah.
on you. Just a little reminder
yeah.
as you drive around.
That's right.
To brush, maybe?
I don't know. I just think that's a little bit of a feel-good story.
Yeah,
I think.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
why not?
That. Good stuff, John, in Head and Greater.
All right, Brianna in Newcastle. Hey, Bree, what medical bits did you keep?
Hey, I had quite major spine surgery.
Oh.
So I asked the doctor, I got 25 titanium screws and the massive Harrington rods out of my spine with the spinal, like, prosthesis disc. I asked to keep those.
Wow. How long are these rods?
The full length of the spine.
Oh, my.
But he had to cut them in half to give them to me because they're, like, cryovac in a bag.
Whoa. Are you ever tempted to use them as like a curtain rod or something?
Or like play sword fights with them?
No, I just threw them in Dad's toolbox, to be honest. Just
in case.
There you go, Dad, have this.
Here, have this. Wow. Well, I think you win. That was extraordinary. Yeah, and if you're looking through Dad, you know, Brianna's dad's toolbox.
Be careful.
Like, what are these rods doing here? That's what they're doing there.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
So at the Waratah shops yesterday, I saw something you almost never see.
Oh, what did you see?
A very old lady. I'm talking 80s maybe.
Okay.
Like, didn't have a walk-up, but you thought she's thought about buying one.
Sure, okay.
With extremely long hair. Like, it's so grey, but then, like, almost in that zone of between butt and knee.
Right.
And huge hair. Like, just extraordinary.
That is someone who has been very proud of their locks over the days.
And it was not in any kind of tied up or anything. It was just like a big shower curtain of hair.
I am tossing up whether or not to have long hair for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, you should.
I love my long hair. That would probably be me, but then, you know, you'd be like, you know what? That'd be such a pain in the bum or pain in the everywhere to try and wash it.
You never see it. You never see someone of that age with that much long hair. It was honestly extraordinary.
A lot of upkeep.
Well, yeah, but I thought, you know what? Waratah represent.
Bunch of characters, and I like it. I appreciate
so
that.
So do I. Oh. So if you're listening this morning, long-haired lady, well done. You've done a great job. It looked amazing.
We salute you.
We certainly do.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
Now, though, we're talking about some new technology that's just been released overseas in the US to help stop people jumping queues. So American Airlines is testing out new technology at 3 of their airports that will shame passengers who try to jump the queue and get in between everyone else, right? So the tech is being tested at the Albuquerque International Sunport Airport, New Mexico.
Sure.
Also the Tucson Airport in Arizona, Ronald Reagan, whatever, Virginia. So how this works, it alerts gate staff, this technology, with an audible sound if a passenger tries to scan a ticket ahead of their assigned group. So, whoop, whoop, nope, can't do that. Back of the line, son.
So what this is, when you're waiting at the gate, they're like, rows 50 to 60.
Yep.
That'd be group one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're right. People always go up when it's not their turn.
Mm.
If it gives you a sound every time, it will stop people doing it.
True. Because
they'll be shamed into not doing it, right?
Everyone's looking at you going, don't do that, mate. Well, it's designed to also ensure that customers receive the benefits of priority boarding as well. You've paid for your spot. You should be able to get it.
They're trying to stop queue jumpers.
Yeah, improving the experience.
Yeah, they disguise it as it's benefiting the people that pay extra.
Yeah.
But really, they're trying to stop queue jumpers.
Exactly.
And
that's fine.
I like that. Yeah.
I think we should use this technology in Newcastle in a lot of different places,
right? Oh, my God.
I hate this.
Yeah. Queue jumping is so annoying. Can we get this going ASAP?
Yep. So I've got some examples of local places that could use this, all right?
Okay.
Now, if you're listening along in the car or at home, please raise your hand, even though I can't see you, if you think we need this. Okay, here we go. First and foremost, McDonald Jones Stadium. I love the place, but sometimes during halftime at a game, could be footy, could be regular soccer, whatever the case, when you're going up and you want to drink like a beer or a soft drink or you want to go get some hot chips, there's always people that's going to try and dodge and step in front of you.
That is a big one. We could use that. You're next in line.
Mm.
I'd love to have that there.
I've also got one. This is also personal for me, Bunnings at Wall's End, particularly in the garden section on a Saturday mid-morning.
Oh, very busy.
Trying to jump in with your trolleys. It's like, no, move your plants out of my way. I was here first.
Yeah, these bags of soil belong to me and they're going through first because I was here before you.
I have a few more.
Okay.
Okay, quickly. Peak hour at Woolworths, Cameron Park, self-serve checkout.
It's out of control.
It's like 4:30 p.m. Do not go in front of me, Sonny Jim. Okay.
Sonny Jim.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a 50-year-old woman inside.
Yes.
Also, any pie store, fat chicken store, and Soul Origin.
Yeah, right. All of those driving you mad.
Don't jump me.
I've got a few that I want to talk about.
Go.
Mayfield West Charcoal Chicken and Kebabs on a Friday.
On a Friday?
A Friday. It is a bedlam in there.
Really?
And if you're not very careful, people will jump in front of you. You've got to be very quick and careful. Next one that comes to mind, the Bar Line at the Kent. It is a great pub. But for some reason, it is a magnet for queue jumpers.
And also Queen's Wharf at the bar too.
Is that an issue there? Yeah, I think I agree with that too. The number one issue, though, is the commercial fishermen's co-op at Christmas time for the prawn line.
Whoa, that's a good example.
It is chaos in there.
Yeah.
And people are always trying to, you know, jump you for your spot in the queue and grab your prawns out of your hands.
Right. Well, Dr. Ross Carriage, our new mayor for Newcastle, sort it out, please.
Please.
New FM. The Novos. The Novos.
Now, behind the scenes yesterday, we got to talking about your previous family holidays to Tasmania.
Yes.
And in one of them, you stayed with I want to get this right. Is it a step-great-auntie?
Step-auntie.
Step-auntie.
So my mum's stepsister.
And you were talking about how bad it was to stay there. Please share this story once again.
Look, she just didn't have the best quality bed, so much so. So she was living in Hobart at the time when we went on this little trip, and I think it was the first place or the second place we stayed during the trip, so it wasn't off to a good start.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, her bed at the time was just springs. Like, it had
like
no
bare
comfort.
Springs?
Or it felt like it.
Right.
So when you were lying there, all you could feel was like the springs digging into your back, your buttocks, your legs,
very
whatever.
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, your shoulder blades, you know, when you're bony and blah, blah, blah.
And what are some of the other things that were in and around this house?
Not a lot.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was a bit dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the most comfortable place to stay, and I've never met her before.
Yeah, okay.
So it was a bit awkward.
Like, why are we staying in, not in a hotel?
Yeah, I think we're just saving a bit of money, which was fine. Like, I didn't have a problem with that. It was great to get to know her. She was a great person. But I hated her bed. It was so uncomfortable, disgusting. And then we were talking about other places.
Worst places you've stayed. Is that the worst you've ever stayed? Are there any others that come to mind?
100%. So when I was little, I've spoken about Milbredale Mountain Classic on the show before. Now, you can camp there over across the weekend for the race weekend. When I was a kid, I had to sleep in a tent with either my parents or my brother or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the weekend trips, I had to stay in a tent with Dad. That's fine. Dad's okay. But Dad can sleep through anything.
Yeah,
I can't.
Okay.
I had to sleep on the cold, hard ground while it was raining, so it was muddy and hard underneath my back, and it was freezing.
Nothing worse than when you're camping and it's cold and wet.
Blech.
It reminds me, so I was trying to work out what my top three worst places I've ever stayed.
All right, here we go.
In at number three, funnily enough, is Year 7 camp. It was it was like down near the Hawkesbury River area, sort of area. And it poured with rain the entire time.
Oh, that's miserable.
And we were all in like these little one-person tents. Each person had one.
Oh.
And there's no room, right? It's so small. Your bag is like touching the side. And when it's one of those tents where when the two bits of material, outer and inner, touch, the water just comes through.
Oh.
So everyone was actually like soaked to the bone. And like there was no mattress. My bit was on a root as well. So I was like uncovered. The whole thing was a nightmare. That it comes in at number three.
Okay.
In at number two.
What is worse than that?
Well, when I was 18 years of age, me and my best mate went for a trip to like Bali, right?
Great.
Sounds great at the start.
Yeah.
As a side part of that, we went to another little island, Lombok, just next door.
Yeah.
And we found this like beachside hostel. And we thought, this is brilliant. It's only like $5 a night or something.
Whoa.
We're like, this is so cheap. 18 years of age, no money. We thought, excellent.
Mm.
There were multiple issues with it.
$5 a night, you would expect there to be.
First of all, there was like no sheets. So it was just, you were just on some dirty old mattress.
Oh.
But we'd like booked it. So we were like, oh, we're committed now. And then it was next door to a mosque, which isn't a problem in itself, except at like 4 in the morning, the prayers kick off on full loudspeaker. And we'd been on the sauce the night before.
Oh, Matt, your head.
Our heads were pounding. We had no sheets on our mattresses. There was no... There was mozzies were everywhere, and it was just that was. I'll never forget that.
You done yourself in there.
$5 a night. We should have been. It should have been $0 a night.
You should have spent 10 and got some sheets.
Well, that's, you know what? That is the wisdom of life experience right there. Number three coming in is, I forget the name. I think it was called the Golden Motor Inn. So I was on a road trip with my grandmother, valet, and my mum, I think. We're going somewhere out Wagga Way.
Great. Right?
Car breaks down.
Oh, no.
We got provided like a hotel room by NRMA. We're like, brilliant. This will be all right.
Yeah.
Only one available. I think it was called like the Golden Motor Inn, something like that.
Yeah.
Woke up in the night to a rat running across the bed.
Oh, my God. Yuck.
And therein lies the top three worst nights of sleep I've ever had.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local as. And on the air now.
Nearing the festive season, I've got a great news story for you locally here. So the New South Wales governor, her name is Margaret Beasley. She'd never really been a big fan of Christmas pudding, but a Newcastle not-for-profit will be on her family's table this December. So we all know the Adamstown Pudding Kitchen, Uniting Church there.
Of course.
Well, apparently yesterday, the kitchen hosted the governor and her husband at the church and the adjoining kitchen where they officially launched their Christmas season, trying all their different puddings and whatnot. She loved them, so the governor's like, hey, I'm going to get some.
Really?
Yeah, so she's supporting local businesses.
Firstly, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And secondly, to convert someone over to Christmas pudding.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal because I think a lot of people have it as a kid when it's loaded up with, you know, booze, let's face it.
Yeah, it's a bit of an acquired taste,
I find.
And
you go, ugh.
Mm.
And then later you might have it in life and it's a different experience. I think they're now milder in flavour than they used to be, Christmas puddings.
I haven't had them for a little while now, but I have to say I never liked Christmas pudding until I tried the Adamstown Pudding Kitchen.
There you go.
This was a couple of years ago.
So it's a game-changing one.
It absolutely is. It converted me over to them, and I've never looked back.
There you go. That's a good tip from Ari. I like that.
Fantastic local story.
Local story. Mm. I love that.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
And this is one of the most amazing stories I've read for a long time, so I just wanted to share it with you. Because it's really quite inspiring and uplifting. Mm. So it started back in 2019 when a nurse called Charlotte Lay, this is a story from the UK, she was getting ready for a night shift at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She said she wasn't really feeling quite right. She went to the train station and she was standing near the edge of the rail line.
Okay.
And things weren't looking good, right?
Okay.
She wasn't feeling very good.
Mm.
This gentleman came up to her and said, hey, it looks like you're not having a good day. Is everything all right? Can we have a chat? Turns out he was the driver of the train and had stopped the train to have a chat to her and make sure everything was all right.
Wow, that's a lovely thing to do, actually.
Yeah, so he'd made sure and called ahead to make sure, like, other, you know, trains weren't going to be delayed or have any issues around the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this looked really important, so he decided to have a chat to her and make sure she was all right.
Great.
They spoke for about half an hour, and he eventually convinced her to get back on the train with him and go to the next station where he'd rung ahead and got, like, some ambulance crew and police emergency services to help her out.
Okay, lovely.
That might have been the end of the story. But after a while, she was feeling better, like a few weeks later, and decided to reach out on Facebook and say, hey, this was a bit of a crazy day for me, but I would like to thank the train driver for what he did to me that day. Right?
Wow, lovely.
Helped me out, right?
Yep.
People figured out who he was and sent a message and said, hey, let's, you know, connect these two people. She wants to say thanks, right?
Oh, it's like a little hunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
People got involved in the community, worked out who he was.
Great.
Anyway, she got, like, they gave her his number and he, like, called up and just said, hey, I want to thank you for what you did that day. Mm. Having that conversation, so important.
Wow.
I think literally you saved my life that day. And he was like, hey, great, happy to, I'm just happy to hear you're doing well now. You know, you've got the help you need, all that sort of stuff. Few weeks later, they're still like in contact via text and stuff. They're like, let's go grab a coffee and chat. You know, I'm just want to see how you're doing, all that sort of thing,
catch
which is
up.
Not
yeah.
checking in with people.
Sure.
Fast forward a few years, they're now getting married. She is also pregnant with their first child together.
Oh, how beautiful.
Right? The story is good at this point.
Yeah, very of course
good.
It is.
Very good. Then he starts complaining of back pain.
Oh, dear.
And she's like, oh, I think you should go get that checked. He's like, nah, I used to work as a mechanic. We lifted a lot of heavy stuff. It's just that.
Mm.
She's like, go get it checked. Go get it checked. Kept following up. He finally agreed. He's like, fine, I'll go and get checked. Turns out he actually was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, my God.
Luckily, she convinced him to go get checked and was able to sort it out and has basically saved his life.
So in at the end of this story, they've both saved each other's lives and fallen in love in the process.
Isn't this the most incredible sliding doors moment story?
It just goes to show the people that you meet will either A, change your life or can be in your life forever.
You never know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it also, to me, speaks to the importance of checking in with people.
That's exactly
like,
right.
This is so important. If you see someone who's not having a great day, don't forget to check in with them.
Mm.
I also want to mention the number for Lifeline. 13 11 14. The people there are so good and they're ready to chat at any time of day or night.
That's right. Reach out.
Reach out if you ever need to and talk to people around you who you think you're not looking normal or just check in with them. Mm. It is so important. You never know when you might really help someone.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
We are basically finished for today.
Yeah, for your Tuesday.
That's it. But before we do, we've got to award a prize, $100 to spend at Endeavour Restaurant East Maitland.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to give that to Andre in Lake Macquarie. He called up earlier this morning on the show talking about what happened with the long-distance relationship. He was living away from his now wife for, like five years or so.
1,800 kilometres away.
Oh, my gosh. They made it work. They're now married happily. So there you go, Andre. Take your beautiful wife out for a nice dinner.
Congratulations. That's all yours. We've got those to give away all week as well. So anyone that gets involved in the show, straight away you're in the draw and it could be all yours. That is us done. Have a lovely day, everyone. Enjoy that great weather out there. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Catch you then.
Bye.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au. And you can relive all the fun again and again and again.